And at 8 o'clock, we have 12 degrees, your temperature here at the KJN studios, looking for mostly sunny skies today with a high near 27 and windy south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour, increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts as high as 30. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJN News. In some of the latest local news, the Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of a Red Oak woman on a valid Montgomery County warrant for failure to appear on a charge of breach of peace. At approximately 10:56 p.m. Friday, officers arrested 44-year-old Shelby Joanne Olivares of Red Oak in the 300 block of North 2nd Street in Red Oak. She was transported and held at the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center on $1,000 cash bond. Also, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports an attempt to initiate a traffic stop at 190th Street and M Avenue at approximately 2:57 early here this Saturday morning, and the vehicle then fled. The fleeing vehicle was reported stolen out of Stanton on Friday, and the driver of the vehicle fled from deputies until it was disabled, and the individual was then taken into custody. The individual was Richard Dean Pierce III, a 27-year-old of Stanton, being charged with theft in the second degree, felony eluding, and driving while barred. The defendant was transported to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center, where he was booked in hell in lieu of $5,000 cash bond. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office was assisted by the Red Oak Police Department, Cass County Sheriff's Office, Cass County K-9, Pottawatomie County, and the Iowa State Patrol. Sheriff's officials in Douglas County, Nebraska, are asking for the public's help in locating a man who suffers from dementia and may be lost. James M. Roberts is driving a 2013 Brown Ford Edge with Nebraska license plate SCM830. Roberts stands 6 feet 3 inches tall and weighs about 230 pounds. He has white hair and blue eyes. His credit card usage suggests he may be in western Iowa or eastern Nebraska. It's not clear how long he has been missing. If you see Roberts, you can call 911 immediately. His image and a picture of the vehicle type that he is driving is on our website at KJN.com on the news page. Red Oak Police stopped a vehicle at 2 a.m. Saturday morning for not having license plates on the vehicle in the 1100 block of North 4th Street. During the stop, officers arrested the driver, 34-year-old Cody Dean Franzen of Stanton, for operating while intoxicated first offense. Franzen was also cited for operation without registration, a fine of $127.50. He was taken to Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on the OWI charge on $1,000 bond. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Shambaugh man for OWI first offense and open container on Friday on Highway 34. A traffic stop was conducted at 12:40 p.m. near the 67-mile marker on Highway 34. 43-year-old Tad Madden of Shambaugh was found to be the driver and was intoxicated and was taken into custody. No further details were known. The Iowa Department of Transportation is paying dozens of Iowa farmers to leave rows of corn that can create snow barriers along highways. KCRG-TV reports the state agency has about 70 contracts with farmers. Agency transportation planner Kathy Cutler says farmers are asked to leave 4 to 10 rows adjacent to roads. The corn acts as a natural barrier, keeping the snow off highways. Dean Williams, who farms near Vinton, participates in the program. He says his corn can cause up to 4 feet of snow to pile up in the stalks, keeping Highway 150 clearer of snow. The farmers are paid a little more than they would earn from the corn, and they still can harvest the rows in the spring. A man who suffered a diabetic episode and crashed his vehicle on a dead-end road was transported to the Montgomery County Hospital on Friday morning. According to Red Oak Police, at around 9 a.m., officers received word that a vehicle was trying to pass through a fence in the 1600 block of North 5th Street. When they arrived, they found 60-year-old Brian Platt of Red Oak slumped over in his 2000 Dodge Dakota pickup. Officials say Red Oak Rescue arrived and transported the man to the hospital. They say he was not injured when the pickup went out of control and hit a dead-end sign and a fence. Following the collision, due to medical episode, Platt continued to press on the accelerator, but the fence prevented the vehicle from moving forward. Damage from the incident amounted to a little more than $2,700. A residence southeast of Oakland was destroyed by fire early Friday morning, but the home's two occupants were able to escape without injury. According to reports, the blaze at 18333 450th Street occurred at around 4 a.m. Residents were alerted to the situation when they heard popping and cracking noises. Crews with the Oakland, Carson, Henderson, Macedonia, Avoca, and Hancock fire departments responded to the scene, and upon arrival discovered heavy smoke and flames coming from the basement and first floor areas. The house collapsed at around 5:45 a.m., and the cause of the blaze is under investigation. Authorities have released the name of a man who was fatally injured in an explosion at a fertilizer plant in southern Iowa. Creston Fire Chief Todd Jackson on Friday identified the man as 71-year-old Eldon Ray of Creston. Jackson says Ray and two other people were injured Thursday morning when an overpressurized air pipe exploded at Green Valley Chemical. Jackson says Ray died after leaving the scene in an ambulance, and the other two people were taken by private vehicle to Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston, where they were evaluated and released. Jackson did not have their names. Jackson says the explosion cause is being investigated. He says the blast did not cause a fire. The Iowa Supreme Court says an inmate can give more of his earnings back to his victims at the expense of the state. The court reinstated a judge's order Friday allowing Bo Morris to apply 50% of his income to restitution, up from the traditional 15% for inmates with private sector prison jobs. Morris petitioned a court in 2012 to increase the percentage of his earnings for restitution after reading about how millions of dollars in court debts go unpaid. But the Iowa Department of Corrections argued the change was illegal and a judge rescinded it. Increasing restitution payments meant less money would go to the department and the state's general fund. But justices say lawmakers intended for victims to receive restitution from inmate wages ahead of the state. An Iowa County attorney says no criminal charges will be filed against two Marshalltown police officers involved in a fatal shooting. Marshall County Attorney Jennifer Miller said in a legal opinion released Thursday that the use of deadly force by officers Ramon Maxey and Benjamin Schievel against Andrew J. Worsfold on December 17th was justified. Maxey and Schievel were patrolling during early morning hours when they encountered Worsfold. The officers said Worsfold had acted suspicious before he pointed a handgun at Maxey and fired one round. Both officers said they ordered Worsfold to drop his weapon before they shot at him. Worsfold was hit two times and later died from his injuries. Miller says the officers were legally justified to use deadly force to protect themselves and the public. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker will attend a conservative political event in Iowa this month. Organizers of the Iowa Freedom Summits announced on Thursday that Walker will participate. The January 24th event in Des Moines is being sponsored by Citizens United and Republican Congressman Steve King of Iowa. Walker, a Republican recently reelected to a second term, is weighing a 2016 presidential bid. Spokesman Tom Evanson said in a statement that Walker was looking forward to, quote, sharing the story of Wisconsin's successful reforms. Walker was last in Iowa in September for an economic conference. Other confirmed guests for the summit include New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Texas Governor Rick Perry, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. The Cass County Health System Women's Health Initiative is presenting a free community event, Stress Management Tools for Women. The event will be held January 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. in the Cass County Memorial Hospital atrium. Sarah Herzberg will present the program at 5:45 p.m. Dr. Herzberg is a therapist who has been practicing at Southwest Iowa Mental Health Center since 2007. Stress Management Tools for Women will provide tools to help women identify and manage signs of stress, particularly those associated with raising children and caring for aging parents. And she says that women can experience a lot of stress associated with caring for their children or aging parents, and in many cases, both at the same time. Dr. Herzberg noted, rather than just pushing through, it can be very helpful to recognize and acknowledge the stress, and there are specific techniques anyone can use to help manage that stress. In addition to Dr. Herzberg's 30-minute program, there will be displays featuring a number of stress management tools that are available locally, such as relaxation and exercise. Local business will have staff on hand to share information about the services that they offer and that may assist in managing stress. Businesses participating in the event include a local yoga studio, Twyla Garside, a pet therapist, and three county fitness centers, the Wellness Center of Anita and the Neshoba Valley Family YMCA, and 712 Fitness. There is no pre-registration and no charge for this women's health event. For more information, you can contact Cass County Memorial Hospital Public Relations Department at 712-243-7405. That's a look at some of the latest local news here on KJAN. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Rosemary Hoyce, age 84, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Memorial services for Rosemary Hoyce will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Atlantic Gospel Chapel. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has arrangements. Donald Nicholas Stein, age 59, of Glenwood and formerly of Portsmouth, died January 2nd at home. Funeral services for Donald Stein will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Dorothy H. Meckendorf, age 93, of Oakland and formerly of Rural Walnut, died Monday at the Oakland Manor. A graveside memorial service for Dorothy H. Meckendorf will be held today at 2 p.m. at the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. Merle Leroy Bassett, age 85, of Casey, died Thursday at the Guthrie County Hospital and Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Merle Bassett will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Elaine Doffenbaugh, age 91, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Greenfield Nursing and Rehabilitation Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Elaine Doffenbaugh will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Mary Elizabeth Fueling, age 66, of Farmington, Minnesota, died Tuesday. Mass of Christian burial for Mary Elizabeth Fueling will be held on Tuesday, January 13th at 12 p.m. at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. The White Funeral Home in Farmington, Minnesota has the arrangements. Marilyn J. Schnack, age 74, of Harlan, died Thursday in Mesa, Arizona. Services for Marilyn J. Schnack are pending at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. And Betty Woodside, age 88, of Fontenelle, died Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Betty Woodside are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. At your latest news and funeral announcements here on KJAN, I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.